It's amazing the amount of how much free time your garage has or whatever.
It's 5 p.m. It's 5 p.m. on Thursday, February 8th, and I'd like to call the Park, Rec, and Open Space Advisory Board meeting to order. First item on the agenda, first of all, welcome everyone, and thank you all for coming out. So, I want to go over first 18-138. The minutes of the Parks, Recreation, and Open Advisory Space Advisory Board meeting from December 14, 2017. Give you a chance to look over those for a second. Discussion items. The first item is 18-1-39. Consider, discuss bike share options for the city of McKinney. This time I'm going to ask our director, Michael Kowski, to speak on this item. Turn it over to you, Mike.
Excellent. Thank you for the chairman. Have you heard about bike share? So I gave the same presentation to the MCDC in December. We canceled our meeting in January, so I didn't have a chance to show this to your group then, so I'm back today. So I know that Sean, you can kind of check some stuff on your side, people's interested in whatnot. This is truly just an update conversation. You're not hiring anybody, you're not partnering with anybody, you have no money to do so. The MCDC has set aside $60,000 for the program over 2 years ago. You have not grabbed that money or anything. 2 years ago, pressure was a whole different animal. It's changed. I'll talk to you about why. So why did MCDC do that? Well, because bike share was taking off across the world. The number of cities with bike share started around 855 in 2014. A decade before that, it was nothing. It was nothing at all. The number of bicycle trips, same trend line, 2016, 25 million separate bike share rides, 45,000 unique riders. So without question, MCDC should have put money aside for this. This is how it's trending. This is how things are looking going forward. This is a show with major cities, New York, Chicago, so on and so forth. We are this little other sliver. However, that other sliver is growing exponentially. We're those kind of mid-tier cities that should be considering this type of program. And here's where things change, and it's very important to keep an eye on. So at first, it was a smart docking system, and now we're seeing what's called smart bike. Smart dock. This is what is Chicago bike. Drop it off in a kiosk, so on and so forth. Things changed a couple years. And now you can't find the bicycle itself. You walk up with your credit card or your iPhone, you touch that, this unlocks, you drive away, it locks when you're done. Whole different technology. This is the root of rather than having any doubts, this type of condition. You know people bicycle and run in McKinney. This is a company called Strava. They data mine people's phones to find out where you are, where you're doing your exercises. The more intense color here is more bicycling happening. Right here, Tufts Brewery. Take us a jump off point. So if people are bicycling too, having a couple drinks and going on, around the town lake, around the trails. So this is open source, on their website. They're running, bicycling, so on and so forth. You can see where people are going and bicycling on the streets. So people are doing it, no doubt about it. Talk about the three types of bike share laid out there, point to point. You pick up bicycle, you drop it off somewhere else in the same type of locking system. Ride and return, there's only one spot to pick up, do your riding around, drop it off at the same location. And then distributed. This is the one that we're going to talk about most today. This is the trend where it's headed. No kiosk necessary, you want to lock it, you can do the bicycle anywhere you want. For your education, this is in your presentation packet. It's a breakdown of pros and cons if you want to get deeper into it. But I'm going to dive into some of the challenges. That's what today's conference is all about. So just think about the components of a bike share program. from the hardware, software operations, advertising, marketing, business model, just for the hardware, a city has to make decisions on all these categories. We haven't done any of this. We haven't decided on types, on speeds, cables, or locks, or anything else. So I want to reinforce the fact that we haven't done any research on a bicycle, on nuances, to say nothing of the software, operations, advertising, and so on. We are truly at the research stage of this whole project. So here's my narrative. June of this year, Dallas. Garment company, we bike share from the Dallas. By August 3rd, we have ourselves a bike share war. By August 25th, we're a new leader in bike share. By September 18th, bike share companies live with bike litter and sequestering. What the heck is that? That's when people rent a bicycle and then lock it with their own lock by their house. It's always available to them. That's the trend that happened. By October 31st, Dallas can't handle bike share. Mind you, this is June of that same year. They're saying, congratulations, you got bike share in Dallas. All of a sudden, it's coming in rooms. By December 19th, is this the future of Dallas bike share experiment? The next day, new report confirms Dallas actually likes this bike share. That's a huge, huge disconnect. There's no doubt about that. By December 29th, Dallas bike share companies are doomed. And then now we're getting more intense. We're in apocalypse. Okay, we're 6 months after the launch, and that's where we're at. Katy Perry mocks Dallas bike share for a problem during over-the-top two-hour performance. Most shocking thing there for me is over-the-top, I would say.
Yeah, that's possible, Katy Perry.
Right? Yeah. So that was just a few weeks back. Is it too soon to regulate Dallas bike share companies? Now we have a change in the narrative. This is very savvy. I give credit to somebody out there. The tagline, set the bike's problems, reveal flaws in human behavior and urban design. Not that the bicycle, it's us. We're the problem. That was June 30th. Highland Park, they just banned bike sharing. There's a bike share bicycle in a right-of-way, they pick it up, throw it in the garbage, a couple hours of time to pick it up. For the most part, it's going in the trash. It's usual, you can't have any bicycles in the right-of-way. That's swinging in the other direction. And why is that? Well, I'm being selfish here. The parks maintenance team would have to deal with this problem. Mm-hmm. If we walk all over in the right of ways, where we cut our grass, right? On the fences. Now, this one, I'm trying to find a better image, but it kind of tells the story. So we cut one in half, put a bracket so it's actually going through the telephone. Now, Tim would get that call.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt about it.
Yeah, sorry.
So, these are problems for us because we couldn't deal with it. Bike share's over, folks. What's the next trend of riding? We're just up our electric share bikes.
E-bikes.
Right? So, let's say we adopt a bike share today. By the time we as government actually implement it, we'd be behind the times by 2 months. There's no doubt about it. So, that's the next wave. What is that? We have bicycles going 15 miles an hour. That's a huge challenge for us. So, where are we at in the process? We are right here, research. We are literally step one behind me. That's the honest truth. So I know that there's social media rollback. I know that I received direct emails myself, have had parts. I respond back every single one of them, tell the same story. Now, this is what's going on. So, in no way, shape, or form, we hired a company, haven't spent any money, we decided what to do. We're in research. That research does include, though, a bike share program. It's in our master plan, page 218. Recommendations, bike share. So we would be remiss if we didn't look at that recommendation and see if it fits the McKinney. Can we roll out on a smaller scale? Fight bicycles as part of a library system? Maybe. We went those ducks out of the town Lake Pond, could be part of that system. Fight bicycles? Maybe. So those are things that I'm looking at. Will ever get better to take off? I have no idea. Is there a perfect solution? I don't know. I don't think anybody knows. Just want to make it clear today that we're truly just in the research portion. You guys are in lockstep with us in terms of timing and where we're going with it. So I may come back in a couple months with an update. But is this a top tier project for Parks and Recreation? Nope. I don't know. MCDC requested an update because they had money set aside. So should they release that money to something else or keep that in a bucket for us later on? That was the question kind of hanging out there. And I did not get them a direct answer yet until we signed it myself. So, Sean, I know you kind of plugged into a few things that people sent me. A notice of a poll that's out there. You know,
so the whole thing blew up. Bridget Ann, I don't even remember her last name. But she has a citizen McKinney Facebook group, and she made a post about this, and people just went off all about how they saw the litter on Dallas, everything. Everybody exploded. And then it was seen on the Parks and Rec, and then somebody else posted it in my group, the McKinney Cares group, which is a bigger group. So it was even bigger. The response was humongous. We got questions like, why would we get a public bike program and not public transportation program? Well, we're talking about completely different expenses.
And which we have, just to
I mean, everybody, there's a lot of blowback.
Right.
Blowback is not even a good word.
Right.
Mm.
But there's also people that are open to it.
Passionate input. So I think
yes. So I posted a poll, and before I left the house to come here, we had over 900 responses on the poll. When it came to yes or no answers of would I use it or would I not use it, about 10% of people were saying yes, I would use the program. So that's, we're looking at 90% of people against the program and 10% that said yeah, I would use it. I had a question of do we know how many people actually use our parks compared to the population? Like, do we have a percentage of people who use our parks on an annual basis?
I don't know that specifically. I mean, do that research as well.
I'm just curious. I'm wondering.
We've done game camera studies on trails before, and we can tell you on a single day how many times the game camera is tripped at an entrance to a trail. We hide the game camera. And all, now I can't tell you—is it a runner? Is it a walker? Is it a cyclist?
I mean, I can
tell you how many people go through
same
that
thing
single point.
On the group, though, I could ask, "Hey, you live here? Have you used our parks this year or in 2017?" And see what the response is.
Let's talk about that offline, you and I together, because how it's worded and conveyed.
Right.
Be very careful because you don't want to, create a problem from the subway ride.
Right.
So let's just talk about that.
I was just curious. I mean, if 5% of people are using the parks and 95% aren't.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a realistic number or not. I honestly have no clue.
So, Michael, I was involved with the Austin Parks Foundation where they put their bike share program in down there. Totally different way they approached it. And they started with the research, which I would highly recommend you spend an inordinate amount of time in collecting data, because that was one of the big things that proved out their program. Totally different user there. It's not a casual, recreational, I'm going to ride to get an ice cream. It is an urban setting in which it is easier to ride a bike three blocks than get in a car or catch an Uber. The other thing is you hit on there, and it's a point not to dismiss. It's a huge point, which is your urban planning. They have actual bike lanes. They are not allowed on the sidewalks. They are curbed, and they have these very clear districts of which the bikes are shared and ridden. And they are used by not more non-residents than residents.
Mm-hmm.
They're used by visitors who come into the town. They're there for a convention, a conference, to use the hotel. They want to go from here to here. They're under the age of 40. I mean, they track all this stuff. It was fantastic data. And then the other thing is the Strava.
Yeah.
So I use Strava all the time. It is not a casual use thing. It is normally for athletes who are tracking a lot of data, and the one thing to back out of Strava is see if you can back out, which I know you can, is the average trip distance.
Yeah.
If the average trip distance is more than 5 miles, these are not people who would use bike share.
Right.
Because Austin has a great statistic on what the average distance is for their use, because they had to evaluate the metric in the first year. It's under 2 miles. And it's I'm going to go from here to here. They go from they use the, not the new technology, Google technology. They have them at the train stations, they have them at the convention center, they've got them at their major parks, and it was just 2 mile trips.
I've seen the same thing. I've seen them where they're clean, it's usually where they're at dock to dock, right?
Yeah.
And they're maintained, and there's a place for them. I think the only time I ever had trouble once was I had to go to about 5 locations to find an open spot on a dock.
Right.
Because everybody's going to the same place, right?
And that's part of the reasons we're doing. It's called rebalancing. At some point in the night, somebody has to go around and kind of look back in the spot. So they have
to go. So from resourcing, they had to buy, I know, 2 trucks. It had to be specially outfitted in the bed of it so the bikes could sit and stand up as they were transporting. that it was the investment in the tools and the labor. Because, Tim, why don't you have a guy throw a wrench on a bike real quick? Right? They didn't have the skill set to do that.
Exactly.
And it was an investment.
So the biggest concern of the citizens was the bikes littering the streets.
I agree.
It wasn't even necessarily them using our streets. Some people brought that up, but I understand that this is more specifically, hey, ride in our parks. Don't take it on the streets. But because of the concern with it being trash on the streets, I would be less inclined to support the distributed bike systems than the docking stations. And especially if it's an electric bike system, we're going to have that docking station so they can charge.
That's a good point.
But there would be less of that litter if we had the docking stations involved. And I would be curious of how many bikes the 60,000 would provide. So
I think 60,000 if I set aside for a little bit of third-party research if you need to look at. I'm at that point, but I'm figuring it out. One thing that came to mind as you were speaking was what Dell's didn't do. So Dell's had a chance, for my colleagues, to actually do a single-source contract with bike share company. And you're right. They said no, so let the free market dictate, won't be a problem. So now, 2 weeks ago, I'm talking about two more bike share companies kind of coming to Dell's as well. So it's growing because they have no regulations. Maybe our happy spot is something we have some bike share in our parks for the casual users, and then we have ordinance changes to prevent them from being left on our right of way. Maybe that's kind of some happy middle we can find. I don't know. I have to do a ledger sheet and do pros and cons. Council has not seen this information in the same type of format you've seen it yet. I would not take it to council until this group advised us on how to approach.
Well, and the other thing is, don't forget what happened down at White Rock Lake. Right? So White Rock Lake, you know, they've got the bike path, and bike path was shared all the way around that lake. There was that horrible tragedy about 2.5 years ago. Woman is running, she's got her earbuds in, she makes a left-hand turn to go run down that sidewalk, and a cyclist is passing her on his left. And nobody was at fault, but she walked right into the path, and unfortunately she was killed. So then what was her immediate reaction? Now we have speed limit signs posted in all the parks on bike lanes and bike, because they were advocating bikes there. So it's a natural consequence, and I think we have the fortunate hindsight to be able to see all those challenges that the other places have faced.
Yeah. And my commitment to this group and beyond this group is to take a slow, measured approach to this whole thing. And if we find it doesn't fit the king, that doesn't fit the king, that we remember our mission as a director, to grow together, and that's it. That can be an option. So, but it's in the master plan, and I am going to be remiss if I don't give this full attention to that issue. So let's work out right now.
This is not an item that we need to vote on, so we're just going to go on to the next agenda item. That'll be for reports on 18-140, direct updates on Cottonwood Park renovation project, Gray Branch Community Park kickoff, Gabe Nesbitt Community Park master plan update, and Community Center report. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Director.
So just a couple of brief updates, and I'll turn it over to Trish. So Cottonwood Park. So we're in the process of finalizing all the details to hire a master planner to come in and redo Cottonwood Park. We have over $1 million today for this park. We may be doing more depending on what the master plan calls for. This is El Dorado Highway 5, right here. Here's what's unique about this park, right by the Newsom Homes. Great location here. Another cool thing, it almost touches Highway 5. Now, it's almost a gateway into the whole experience of the downtown. So some of the master planning happening in engineering is considering curving this road with magnet and turn this way, maybe it's more parking over here. This commercial station right here is the highest issue to that corner, I don't know. But long term, we're going to plan to have an option to acquire, could this all be part of that? So it's part of facing and touching Highway 5. Off that experience with gateway signage and things of that nature. This is a rather small park, over just over 3 acres. It was the site of our first, one of our community centers. There's a building here. So there's actually a street light right here in the middle of the park that was in the parking lot for the community center. So it has some history to it. We need to kind of unpack and really appreciate and understand better. Is a baseball diamond the best use here? Maybe not. Maybe it's a splash pad. Maybe it's an amphitheater. Maybe it's a sheer kiosk, if that's how it's going to go after. Because once you cross this hornet's nest of roads, you're at El Dorado, and pretty soon you're at the golf course, and pretty soon you run 10, 20 miles of trails, potentially, a loop, without having to track a vehicle. So it's a pretty cool jumping off point, a gateway connection between the area west of time and the area east of time. We will start the public input meetings probably in a couple months. It's scheduled right now. We hired Kingley Horn to do this work. Kingley Horn is an international firm. Their offices are actually in downtown McKinney as well. So they are a 1 minute car ride here, which is great for us because as I invited them, Jenny and Jill are spread thin. I need a team to jump out here and get at something and keep it moving forward. So we had a great discussion with Mr. Shumwell as well, Mr. Shumwell, about this, and I think he shares our excitement to start this project as soon as possible.
Yes, sir.
Anything else you want to add to that?
No, we've got the contracts in, they're being routed, and the first step is information gathering, and like you said, probably, month and a half, we'll be setting up the first round of public input meetings.
Awesome. So this will be done by next year? Mm-hmm. Usually about a 10-month project for construction, depending on the ins and outs of it, but maybe by late spring next year, summer next year, we're doing a dedication ceremony here. So, great project. You guys will be heavily involved in the master planning portion of it, so stay tuned. Mr. Chairman, any questions on this one?
No.
I just have one thing I was thinking about this week, actually. You mentioned the public input. It would be great to know kind of when you guys are doing those, just to kind of be aware. Because I think it might be fun to occasionally go in and just sit in the back or be part of something like that. That would be perfect. Whether we can make a
And we want you folks there as support.
Yeah,
that's your question. So my job as a director is to inform you of everything going on. It's going to be a question on the street. You guys know the answer. When you come across a citizen in an open forum, you guys have the same answers I have. That's pretty cool.
Usually when they put it in the meeting, we go ahead and post it as a possible forum of park board, and so we always...
Always do that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good answers. Yeah. We'll make sure that happens. Green Ranch. So, along our corridor, at Wilson Creek, this is the most northwestern kind of final piece of the puzzle that we're kind of building along this way. 212 acres, we discussed at length. We had our first internal staff kickoff meeting. This whole room was filled with people to kind of gather input and so on and so forth. Another public input meeting will happen a couple months ago. That's the contracts done, doing information collecting. One nuance I want to highlight here is that a large portion is in the floodplain, flood wave. It's moving water, so we have to be very sensitive to what we put here. We can always recreate it, recreate something else. So, stay tuned on that.
Mike, can I ask you a question back on that?
Yes.
In the east corner, yeah, that whole kind of blob there has quite a bit of topography to it and elevation change,
right?
Which kind of, I don't want to say limits, but it just really is going to pose some challenges based on, you know, from a...
Yeah. So, sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry, you have another slide.
Dear, this is the original national plan.
Okay.
That's actually where it kind of had a lot of structure and buildings and different spots.
Okay.
That's
it's
the only high and dry spot in the property,
mm-hmm.
as it were. I didn't meet with the owner of the property down over here to see if he maybe buy that. I'm not interested in selling this time. This whole project is contingent upon one simple thing, folks: getting a road connection over to Lake Forest. All the traffic cannot be handled off that little Green Ranch road and 80. We need that east-west connection, so that's something that we're going to work on very strongly.
If you can make it out that inroad to the neighborhood across the street.
Yeah. We have a couple options for kind of thinking that the master planner will be charged with helping us find an exact line. The investment master plan. So we I just signed a form approving the contract for the rework master plan. This is in response to us partnering with the library for East West Road, the Hensel Library, to the PSA area. That gives us a chance to look at this area now. I've said it before, I'll say it again. My hope is just to finish building out the investment in the next couple of years. Just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get it done. And fully functional. So the master planner is going to come in and talk to us about baseball diamonds and so on and so forth. And to the tennis complex, the final plans will be different from this. So give us a new presentation board as well. So that's what I'm starting up. I'll be meeting with our consultant next week, and we'll go over there.
Okay. Any questions?
Without further ado.
$76,000. So considering that we had closures, that was pretty good for us. Pavilions, overnight camping, that's a big one for us as well. We're the ones that take the reservations at Finch, at Town Lake, and at Irwin. That brought in $26,000 for us.
That's huge.
We also like to give back. You guys, there's about 66,000 special needs family in Collin County. So what we like to do is have a partnership with MISD. So McKinney Boyd, we have McKinney North that utilizes our fitness facility. We don't charge. Ms. Tracy's been there. We kind of try to coordinate time so they can come. But also, the McKinney Magic. They're an adult athletic club. Who's aware of McKinney Magic? You are familiar with them? We work with them. They need a place to practice. So every Wednesday, we give them court time. We don't charge, but we develop that partnership with them. So whenever they are no longer in the program, they feel comfortable and they assimilate with our group. We also work with Citizens on Patrol. We got that brand new patio. They want a party. Well, I won't charge, but guess what? Our fabulous Citizens on Patrol monitor our parking lot, help, you know, with those issues that we've had in the past. So it's a wonderful relationship that we have with Citizens on Patrol. In turn, we give them our place, and they will manage, they will monitor our parking lot. Next. Programming and drop-in activities. What do you do when you go to the community center? You all, we require everybody to have a membership. In the past, we never did, but we couldn't track who was coming in and out of the building. We're right off 75 Central. As McKinney has grown, you get a lot of transits. We have to think of safety. So we require everybody just to get a membership or driver's license so we can track who's coming and who's leaving. But what we offer that's free, for people who may not be able to afford some programs, you can always come by and play pool, do air hockey, foosball, just hang out in the lounge. I also provide free outdoor concerts and movie nights for families that live around the areas. So we always take that into consideration, our demographics. So we do like to give back and offer free activities, but what we do charge for, obviously, is our recreational programs. Our racquetball courts are the only ones in McKinney to have a court unless you join a membership, like at LA Fitness, for 24 hours. But we're just $8 an hour, you get AC, and you don't have to chase the ball like we have to do at the tennis court, so it makes it easier, so you can move on. Yay. A long time happening. I am so excited about this patio pavilion. We just got this brand new furniture. We plan on doing some rentals this summer. Right now, I'm trying to get the staffing, because anytime you do a private party after hours and we're nestled in the woods, folks, it gets a little scary out there. We're not a little town of 50,000 anymore, so we're trying to get the staffing so we can properly staff these parties that we plan. But this past fall, we had a wonderful concert. Ms. Flora, I appreciate you attending those events. We have a perfect venue for it. We just don't have a sign, so at night, people bypass. And so that's a missing target for us. So I know Mike is working on that, because people who Google it, like I said, once you miss us, you're not coming back. Mm-hmm. Your turnaround movie, they're just too complicated. And so again, if we have the signage, which you're working on, LED, I will say that all Thomas will be missing that big gorilla in his car lot, because I was right over so people know where they're at. Whatever it takes. Okay. Moving forward. This new hike and bike trail, Tim, the guys, everybody. Sorry, this was taken in a wintry day, but you can see the clarity there. It is fantastic. And as you can see, the circle is the community center. The demographics, you know, McKinney High School is up here. We have all the apartment complex in the subdivision. Now with that hike and bike trail, kids don't have to walk on 75 Central anymore. You see more kids using that hike and bike trail from El Dorado through to go to school or just riding their bikes to go to Town Lake. So it's been a wonderful benefit. Next. The new playground. This is what it currently looks like. Yay! I'm excited. This is what it's going to look like. And it's just another added element to the community center. 32 years we've been around. We've never had a playground. We do now. So people and our kids, our programs that we have, they will be able to use that. Okay, now I get really excited. This is probably my my strength running the community center for all the special events that we do. We do 3 outdoor movie nights, and we do cater to PG-13, to teenagers. Because wherever you go, it's always the youth. What happens to the teenagers? Nobody programs for them, or young adults. So that's what our goal is. To control who comes in and out of the community center. It's not a part of the park. So that's why we like and recommend they do it. If they do it, you know, they can stick to G. But I have a little bit more area there. Party on the patio. We've done a mother and son western night, and we changed the theme to superhero night. Melanie has been attended both of those events, so I appreciate that. The Scholastic Book Fair. I have partnered with Scholastic for the last 10 years, and part of the partnership with them is they pay me in books, and with those books, we give every child a book when they leave our event. And it's just a wonderful partnership, like I said, for 10 years that we started that. Breakfast of Santa, we sold out with 200, and our Daddy Daughter Day sold out with 420. This year, we added another time slot. Again, parking is a big issue at the community center, so that's why we're limited. We don't want people parking along the trails. So again, this last Friday, we started from 5 to 6:30. We took an hour cleanup, and then we did 7:30 to 9. The reason our special event is a success, because we have to, we're innovative. I get creative freedom on a budget. Brian and Mike have never questioned, they just let me go beyond. An experience for our guests, paying attention to details and setting the tone at the moment of arrival. So with your box, again, this is me in a box. It's what I present when you come to the community center for an event. I hope it gets you a little excited. You can't wait to open it up. But go ahead, feel free to open up. Because when you come to the community center, you want to change it. I want to create a facade. So when people come in, they think they're going to a French Paris cafe. They think that that may be right there. That's kind of what the box is about. And then when you go inside the community center, there's nothing but fun and excitement. And our party comes alive. And that's what we love to do. Those are the type of things that we want our guests to come in. So my theme this year was basketball because March Madness is around the corner. So if I did a program, if I did a theme with our students, our teenagers, I want us to do a program with March Madness and get that football going with those stats. So that's why I'm going to basketball theme. Again, I want our customers to experience something. I want them to feel something when they come to the community center, when they go to a special event. This is the type of attitude that they're going to get. And of course, it goes with your referee file folder and everything. It's about paying attention to detail. This year with our Daddy Daughter Dance, I add the bread and butter station. Something a little different, a little French. So again, looks like I have my wood bed. And again, Melanie has attended a lot of our events, and she's given me wonderful feedback, and I appreciate it. This little one right here, he's been really excited. And this is from our a sneak peek from our photo booth, our wonderful Melanie right here.
Very nice.
And this is Ryan right here. This is Ryan. These are the reactions that are important to us. This is what we want from our customers. This is the type of memories that we want them to take. So again, we do 5-6 different ones each year. I try to add a new one. I'm still trying to get a crawfish bowl going. I just want to be let loose. Okay. Again, my name is Trish. Thank you for your time. And remember me with this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Questions? I'm sorry.
Do you still do the summer programs?
We do not do the summer camps like Old Settlers Rec Center, vehicle, bus transportation, but we do daily programs for them.
They do daily summer
camps. We do summer drop-ins, because again, all the kids are neighbors with the biggest walk. And so my staff, we have a structured activity beside camp.
Okay, that's it. You used to have
some. We used to have a summer camp.
Right, right, right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you,
Trish. Awesome. So part of our series here, we have great speakers come and talk about what we do at the Oasis. It's awesome, right? And things that you are building. How do I make a favorite building in terms of the warmth of it? Great architecture or anything else. But I agree. How do we get people to know it's there? You fly past it. The signage will help a little bit. Still, I think we're working at it. I know Mr. Blue experiences those trails all the time. He was always bragging to me about that whole experience back there, so we need to announce that more. So.
Is there a way to get their entrances? Some have not been noticed for years. We used to go when I first came. I came about the time the shooting happened in 05 too, but we would go to basketball every day, like noon.
So, your base, Rick, do you have something to say?
I'm sorry, I started working downtown and I misjudged the traffic. A big thing we went through with the city council on Monday night, our strategic initiatives on the community development corporation. By far, number one, with the several votes from everybody, so I can safely say I'm speaking for everybody, was to contribute to initiatives to help create more of a destination park. Pick one, and hopefully one that is building on the current either natural beauty we have or proximity to downtown. I mean, just really end up with two or possibly three possible choices, but basically pick one park to really develop with amenities, wayfinding, programs, events, connecting the dots to different things, and calling that like a destination park. Like we think anyway in the CDC, we've got the raw materials to have something like a mini version of a Clive Warren Park within. Within spitting distance of downtown, frankly, and so we just want to, as a board, if there's any initiatives where those things are all being pieced together and making everything build upon each other, then that's something that we're totally into, and that's what we present to council, and they seem to be pretty agreeable. attributable to that. Sometimes, obviously, it depends on other things that are happening, other development that are happening. Sometimes it's not. So whether it's part of a big thing and the development's already happening, and we can build on that, or just start to stimulate a whole bunch of specific parks initiatives around the one thing, as opposed to spreading them out about little things that we do like to do. And I think that builds into results we saw from the community survey and things like that. So probably a bit too much detail, but that's great. Like all the work you're already doing around Town Lake, there's probably even more that we could do together to make that not even, the holes greater than some parts. So that's our biggest initiative. And then other things that were big priorities were just continually funding into the parks initiatives as well. There were a bunch of other things on this list. And if you ever want to see how we deliberated against all that, it's on video somewhere. Like we had a strategic session on camera about a month ago, maybe 2 months ago. Thanks.
Thanks, Ray. So any citizen comments? Y'all are citizens. That's it. Can I get
a motion
from Melanie? We have a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Richard, second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? That's it. You made it.
Thank you.
So that's the excuse.